The Wally Show podcast is our daily radio show heard live through the WayFM app each morning and hosted by Wally, Gavin, and me, Betty Rock. For more fun, be sure to connect with us at wayfm.com/Wally.
The Wally Show podcast is brought to you by Colorado Christian University Online, where you can earn a degree online just like Betty Rock. You can learn more at ccu.edu/Wally. Things you didn't know you needed to know today. It's News-ish with Betty.
Back in the day, if you were on a tight budget, you knew at least you wouldn't starve because there's a nearby drive-thru and there you can pick up fast food for cheap. But these days, you are quickly going to go broke.
Oh my goodness. I mean, when you're spending for two people almost $20 on fast food, there's something out of balance here.
Yeah. A guy named Chris recently traveled to Alaska, and he got the chance to wander around Adak Island.
Oh, okay. I've actually heard of that.
Well, back in the 90s, Adak actually had their own drive-through McDonald's, but it's since been abandoned since 1994.
Oh, wow.
But the menu board is still standing, so Chris posted photos and videos of the menu, and the prices
are going to make you angry.
Are jaw-dropping, because maybe you don't know this, but prices in Alaska are crazy expensive because it takes a lot of money to get those products
Absolutely,
over there.
Absolutely, yeah.
So still, though, the prices are amazing in Alaska in 1994. Okay, so a Big Mac meal. Right now, an average, that's going to cost you $12.56.
Oh, glory!
A little under $15, okay? But back in 1994, a Big Mac meal was $4.59.
And that's in Alaska, where it was probably double what it was everywhere else.
Exactly. A Happy Meal, okay?
Yes.
A Happy Meal.
It is a Happy Meal these days.
Probably $6.
Average around $7.
Okay,
Yeah. But back then, a Happy Meal was $3.36.
And that's what it should be. And even that, they're making money on it.
Yeah. And then finally, an Egg McMuffin. Okay, an Egg McMuffin is just that. There's no like fries coming with it or a drink. It's just an Egg McMuffin. Back in 1994 in Alaska, it was $1.95.
Okay.
Okay. These days, on average, it's going to cost you around $5.50.
Oh, wow.
A bummer.
I don't understand how we keep going at this pace, honestly. Inflation has gotten so bad, and fast food, you know, all of a sudden they're having to pay, you know, $14 to $20 an hour for people. So they pass on those costs to the consumer. So how long can that continue? You know, you can't continue to pay $40, $50 when you go to McDonald's for your kids. I mean, honestly, McDonald's is outpricing themselves so many times. If you're going to pay $15 for a Big Mac, you can go to Longhorn and get a dinner for $15. A steak dinner with a baked potato, and I know because I get it, and it's so good. And, everything, bread, refillable drink, like, it's amazing for the same price as a Big Mac.
I know. It's going to get to the point where I think they're going to bite themselves in the behind because, I mean, it's going to get so expensive that people aren't going to go anymore because it's not worth it.
And that's the only way that it ever stops. It's the only way you keep it in check is when you say, you vote with your wallet. You say, okay, I'm not going to do this.
Yeah.
And then they're forced to make changes. But until then, it's just going to run rampant.
But then they're going to come out with that McDonald's McRib, and we know Wally.
That is worth everything they want to charge for it, because the technology to make something taste like ribs that has no meat in it whatsoever, you're going to pay for that.
Yeah.
Uplifting WayFM, this is The Wally Show. I came across this article on Hope Nation that was talking about like secular songs, non-Christian songs that kind of inadvertently point to God. And I thought, oh, that's an interesting concept. Let's do a game and let's see if you can tell the difference between the lyrics of some secular songs versus, we'll call them, sacred songs. So secular or sacred here. Betty and Gavin, you are going to take each other on here in a couple examples so you can see how this goes. Your name will be your buzzer. If you think you know it, shout out your
Betty.
Name. That's it. Ding, ding, ding. That was a practice round. So here we go. Here's the first set of lyrics. And you're allowed to buzz in anytime you choose. Through the storm, we reach the shore. You give it all, but I want more.
Oh.
And
Gavin.
Gavin.
I'm just going to say secular.
Okay.
I feel like we don't have enough shore mentions in Christian music.
Okay, yeah, yeah. We do have a lot of storm mentions.
I know a lot of storm mentions, but I'm going to go with secular.
Okay, well, Gavin. With or without you. You are right. That is With or Without You from U2. Kind of like some people would argue they're a Christian band. I would never put them as a Christian band, but they have members of the band have faith. Okay, so here you go. That's one. Betty, going to have to be a little quicker there.
Okay.
Bad news. Rent's due. In the struggle, yeah, in the battle, yeah, life will get you down.
Gavin?
Gavin.
Rent's due. That sounded really familiar to me. I'm trying to think of the odds of you doing back-to-back secular.
You never know.
Is low, so I'm going to go with Christian.
Christian. Christian is...
Christian.
Oh, you...
No. Don't quote me on that, please.
Okay. Bad news.
Oh. Rent's due. In the struggle. Mr. Walker?
Yeah. Rhett Walker. Yeah. No stress. No worries. I'm blessed. Yeah. Yeah, I thought I might get you on the rinse due, because that doesn't sound like something you normally hear in a Christian song.
I thought I'd heard this before.
Yeah, well, there you go. Okay, so Gavin, you did really well there. Ooh. Now is your chance to play along. 855-33-WAY-FM. That's 855-33-WAY-FM. If you think you know the difference between sacred or secular songs, we will play with you right now and you can win a prize. 855-33-WAY-FM. Uplifting Way FM, this is The Wally Show. Denise, welcome to Sacred or Secular, where you're going to have to tell us if the lyrics I give you are from a Christian song or a non-Christian song. So, you know what? I think this would be a little bit fun because Betty Rock got schooled by Gavin. And so I want to see if she can do a little bit better here. So your name is going to be your buzzer, both Lady Rock and Denise. Here we go. Song number one. When you think you know it, shout out your name. I'm a little unable to put my cards on the table. But somehow, you're still with me.
Betty.
Betty's in.
I'm going to totally guess that it's a secular song because you're talking about cards.
Yeah, and card playing and gambling is wrong.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Well, I can tell you this. Good news for you, Denise. Betty Rock is wrong.
Yeah!
Do you think you know what the answer is, Denise?
Well, of course, Christian.
There you go. You get a point there.
Well, it was 50-50.
I know. Do you know what song it was by any chance?
Kids, you want to help out? I don't know. It's all like country to me.
No, it's Love Me Like I Am for King and Country, so you're kind of close.
Oh.
All right, so Denise, one point. Okay, here we go. When I look at you, I see forgiveness. I see truth. Your love for me and who I am.
Denise,
what do you say?
I say secular.
Secular.
Wow, I was going to say that that one was Christian.
Well, Denise knows her secular music. That is actually Miley Cyrus.
Whoa.
When I Look at You from the Last Song movie.
Wow.
Nicely done. All right, one more. Here we go. It's been a hard year. So many nights in tears. All of the darkness trying to fight my fears.
Denise.
Secular. That one, Denise, I am sorry, is not secular. Betty Rock, you have to tell me who it is. To get 2 points, you got to tell me who it is.
Chris Tomlin.
No, I'm sorry. That is Lauren Daigle. I think if I had gone like this, you would have gotten it. Yeah, trying to fight my tears alone.
Oh, yeah.
You would have gotten it because every time that song comes on and that part comes on, I go, alone. Well, the good news for you, Denise, is you got more points than Betty. That means you're a winner today.
Yay!
There's an app for that.
Uplifting Away FM, this is The Wally Show. And we love our smartphones. We love all the apps and the things that they can do for us. But there's no way you could know every app that's available until it kind of comes into your sphere. And so when we find something that we like to share it with you in case it can help you out. So Gavin, what is your What's Happening today?
This is one that my wife actually found just the other day and she wanted to...
Is it to make you a better husband?
That's wow. Her daily task, isn't it? But, yeah, it actually is.
Oh, is it really? How did I know?
It's called Sortified, so it's Sortified. YD.
Gotta spell them difficult.
Yeah, I'm assuming that's how you'd pronounce it, but there's a spelling if you want to go look it up. So it's actually kind of an organizational app that you'll
download. Are you unorganized at home? Because you have to be organized for work.
Well, and it's something at home where she wanted, like, we just don't have our co-aligning schedules down in terms of like the stuff, like she's got appointments for like we're having a kid, so she's got like a lot more appointments that she's going to. She's like, oh, I didn't know you're hanging out with your friends on Saturday. I wish that was on a calendar.
Yeah, because apparently that's more important than your unborn child. Yeah, okay. I see how this escalates.
Pick up the hint.
There are more things to this app than I would have thought. Like, I thought, oh, maybe like why don't we just have like an adjoint calendar?
Right, right.
But this stuff actually has a lot of interesting things on it. You can create lists on it. So
for your husband to do.
Exactly.
Try making a list for her. I'm just curious how that pans out for you.
I would never do that. She's got a to-do list in here, and you know, today's to-do list: pay credit card, water plants, grocery shopping. So okay, there's grocery shopping. I'm doing that later today. And then if you go from grocery shopping, you can go to the weekly grocery shopping list.
Okay.
And that's just, you know, a click away. And on that list, bananas, instant grits, Georgia peach tea, water. Okay. So it's like getting stuff like that where you can create all these lists. There's a calendar where you
the
can
irony
see.
Is of this whole thing, you've got this app, all this technology, she has laid it all out for you, and you are still gonna come home without the peach tea.
Oh yeah.
Like, I guarantee you that's what's gonna happen. So there you go. The app, actually, that sounds like a good idea, because my wife and I have different schedules too, and something that could help us align those would actually be really good.
And when you do download the app, like, my wife is the admin, of course, of the thing. And then next to her is me, the co-admin.
Nice. Yeah, that means you don't have full privileges. No. I get it. So she gets to tell you what to do.
Exactly.
There you go. Always be the admin. So what's the name of it again?
It's called Sortified. Sortified.
There you go. If you've ever run into those kind of problems and you're like, oh, this could bring some organization into my family, maybe this is your app.
Marriage is what brings us together. Today.
Uplifting Way FM. This is the Wally Show, and welcome to Wally's Marriage Masterclass. What's my resume, you might ask? 31 years. 31 years of marriage.
Hats off to you, sir.
I know, she's rough, right?
No. Yes.
I read between the lines, Rock.
Wow.
No, I'm happily married. I've been married for a long time, and I've learned some things over the course of that time. And I had good parents, too, that helped me out as well. And that's why Gavin came across this audio from Jordan St. Cyr. You know him from this song. Weary traveler, restless soul. Well, he was talking about a conversation that he had with his daughter. And it's funny because his conversation with her lines up directly with something my dad instilled in me that I then passed on into my family too. So here's Jordan St. Cyr though.
So one day my 8-year-old daughter Willa came up to me and asked if I loved her the most. I took a moment and answered this way: Willa, I love you so much, but in this family I love your mom the most, so I can love you the best. Our love for our kids is in many ways automatic, and the love for our spouse is a choice, which makes it so powerful.
And I've talked about what my dad told me before, and we posted it one time online, and it blew up, and people were like mad. Like, they're like, no, your kids need to know their love. They do. They know that they're loved by how you love your wife well, or you love your husband well, and you create an environment that is fight-free and drama-free and is full with love. That is going to help them understand, A, what real love is, and B, that it's possible in a world that doesn't seem like it, and it will show them that they too are very loved.
Yeah,
you know?
Because a lot of people have issues with their parents, and when you look back, some of it is because of how they treated a parent treated another parent.
Exactly. Like my dad, Jordan St. Cyr said that really well, like to his daughter, like, wow, that's really good. She's little. My dad, I remember him telling me, he said, don't make me choose between you and your mother because you'll lose every time.
A little tougher.
Yeah, because it was also at a time where I was pushing something, you know? And so it stuck with me and it landed because he's saying the same thing. He's saying, this is a choice. I choose to love your mother every day. you know, I have to love you. He told me that. He's like, I have to love you. You're my kid. I don't have an option. But I choose to love her. And if I'm doing that, then our family is going to be strong and be better. And so that's something that's carried me, you know, into what I think is a healthy marriage and a lot of years in it. And so maybe if you've never thought of it in those terms before, and my word isn't good enough, Jordan St. Cyr might drive it home for you today. And so that's your marriage masterclass.
It's easy to let the fear of the unknown keep us from doing something that is good for us, but going back to school might not be quite what you think.
Yeah, one of my biggest fears going back to school was I'd have to watch a ton of online lectures, and I kind of have a problem staying awake during stuff like that, but it was so different than I had imagined, and way better.
Yeah, for sure. I thought I was going to have to take a bunch of tests, which I am not a fan of, but instead I was able to write papers, which for me was way better.
Plus, you have the flexibility to work in school around your work and life schedule. Another big fear I had is, what if I don't understand something? What do I do?
Yeah, CCU, they foster community with your classmates, and they are a great resource. And Colorado Christian University has very responsive online professors who are there to help you so you are never alone as an online student at CCU.
Learn more about how you can pursue your passion and find your calling with Colorado Christian University at ccu.edu. Colorado Christian University is a nonprofit impact partner committed to cultivating the mind without compromising the heart.
Things you didn't know you needed to know today. It's News-ish with Wally.
Time is one of those things that we all seem to not have enough of, but there's good news. This month, you're going to get a little extra time to get things done. A whole extra day, in fact. Who wouldn't be happy about that?
How is that possible?
Sleep year.
Oh.
So there's 29 days. So you get an extra day this month. Like, that's an extra day before your taxes are due?
I would rather that day be, though, a vacation day.
Like, I know.
A weekend.
That would be a good thing for companies, because it only happens every 4 years, is make the 29th just always a vacation day.
Yeah.
Like, every 4 years, you get an extra vacation day. That'd be kind of fun.
Yeah.
I'm always curious about this, like, why it happened. So, I did a little digging, because leap year confuses me. Just like time travel movies. I'm like, what? So, 2024 is a leap year. So we're going to have 29 days, an extra day tacked onto this month. Occurs every 4 years. And it's the practice of adding an extra day to the length of the year to align the calendar with the Earth's orbit. Because our calendar is based on how many times we go around the sun. The 365 days is the journey, I guess, you know. And so occasionally we skip a year to keep science in check. Because it's actually not...
skip a year?
Yeah, because it's not 365 days exact. It's like 365.2. So when you do that enough, you have to add another day in to balance it out. That's how the leap year thing works. Hmm. Yeah. I mean, don't quote me on that literally, but...
sounds confusing.
I know, right? Can you imagine being the people that have to, like, do paychecks and now you've got an extra day in the month? How do we pay people?
That's why they don't put me in charge.
Or flights, like you're flying. Now, you have to plan ahead for this. And know that it's coming, you know, because otherwise you would, like, not book any flights if you're an airline for the 29th.
That's
but
true.
Every 4 years, there's a 29th,
ugh.
You know? Yeah,
good
it's
thing
crazy.
We're not in charge.
Yeah, so this year we'll have 366 days instead of 365 days. If you're a planner, the next leap year is going to be in 2028, and it's going to be a Tuesday. And what's the date, Rock, going to be?
The 29th.
Atta girl! Oh! See, you do get it. I honestly, if someone had said, here, take your paycheck and put it in this square over here if you think she'll get it right, or put it in this square over here if she thinks she'll get it wrong, I would have put it in the get it wrong pile.
Wow.
So,
well, you know, I like to impress people.
Yeah. Here's where it's going to get even more confusing, though. Like, so adding that leap day every 4 years eventually causes the calendar to be back out of sync. And so we then have to thousand
millennia?
Years.
Oh.
Yeah. Have to get rid of leap year for 1 year. Like it's so confusing. There's a whole math thing for it. But basically we will skip leap year in 2100. So 76 years from now.
Who decided this
stuff? I don't know.
This is so complicated.
You're throwing around too many numbers.
I know.
And honestly, I was lost a long time ago.
I know, but you know what?
I got lucky with my guess, and I'm done.
And you know what? You did it great. Let's go get this girl something to eat, because she looks tired. uplifting Way FM. This is The Wally Show. And one of the reasons I don't think you can judge somebody's faith is because you never know what happened when they were a kid, you know, because kids go to church and they get saved and sometimes they meander from that or whatever. But I think what youth leaders do is so, so important.
Absolutely. And I found this article, and the title was, you know, three things that I had to unlearn from my youth group days.
Oh, and it's a little negative.
I won't say that every youth group is perfect, but sure. I am a volunteer at the youth group at my church. And for me personally, and I think we do it well, but for me personally, when I was in seventh grade and going to youth group for the first time, the church that I went to, the biggest takeaway and the lesson that I like still hold on to from this day is that's where I learned what sin was and what sin means in terms of separating me from God. And then the pastor teaching us how Jesus was kind of that cross bridge that brings us from sin over to salvation. Mm-hmm. And so for me, that is a lesson that I still hold on to these days.
Yeah, like youth leaders, I think they're the unsung heroes in salvation for a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people, you know? And like Casting Crowns, they started off as like this youth band. And even today, like one of their big songs back in the day was Does Anybody Hear Her? And what I thought was always great was that as big as they got, I mean, to be one of the biggest bands in Christian music, they always made sure they were home in time to church so they could lead their kids. And so many of Mark's early songs came from youth group lessons he was preparing. But that's the thing. Truth is truth. Whether you're a kid or an adult, the truth is the same. And so he writes all these songs that are great for adults, but they were based on things he was teaching kids at the time. And I think that's, like, super cool.
Yeah, because, I mean, that's where your valuable lessons come from. You got to learn at a young age.
Absolutely.
So that'll stick with you in the older.
Absolutely. And so that's what we want to talk about right now. 855-33-WAY-FM. That's 855-33-WAY-FM. What is that youth group lesson that didn't leave you? Something that you remember from back in the day that somebody taught you, just kind of like Gavin was, you know, talking about how he learned about what sin was and how God is the bridge for us to salvation. So that was probably done with some sort of a graph or a flannelgram.
Yeah, there's just like the graphic where there's like two sides of a
there's
mountain.
A chasm. Yeah,
yeah, there's the chasm.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But you know what? However you remember it, you know, or whatever it takes to remember it, that's what's important. And so I'm just curious, like, what did you learn as a kid in youth group of that lesson that didn't leave you? 855-33-WAY-FM. You might have left the church. You might have left God, but that didn't leave you. 855-33-WAY-FM. We'll take yours now. So what is that lesson you learned from youth group that didn't leave you?
We would have Bible verse races, and they would put out a scripture, and the first one to find it and read it would win a prize. And I won a prize of a little plaque, but the quote says, and it's a proverb, a soft answer turns away wrath. And I earned that when I was probably 10 or 12 years old. And I've never forgotten it. And I'm way older than that now.
And you have plenty of opportunities in life to be wrathful, for sure. And we always have a choice in how we react. We sometimes can't control the situation, but we can control our behavior or our reaction to it. And that's a great lesson that you've probably served you well and kept your life as conflict-free as you could be, huh?
Definitely came to mind many, many times.
Where is the plaque at now? Where do you have it hanging?
I don't have it hanging, but I do still have it.
You do. That's kind of cool.
I do.
Like, because I'm sure you've grown up. You've got a few years, a few miles on the old car there, and you have
rude.
And you have moved from house to house to house. But it's crazy that you've kept that through all of your moves. That's amazing.
Yeah, we've moved probably 5 times in 40 years. We've gone through tornadoes. We've had a house flood with a hurricane, but still, that has survived.
Wow, that's incredible. I know that would make your youth leader feel really good about the work that they were doing. Well, I appreciate you sharing your story today with us, Betty. Thank you.
Be blessed.
What is that lesson you learned from youth group that didn't leave you?
You know, we're not saved by our works, but we're saved for works. And, you know, so many people just work and try to do everything in their own strength, and that's not at all the way that God wants us to be. He wants us to rely on Him and rely on his strength. And so he's the one who's prepared the works for us.
Yeah, it's interesting that, you know, a lot of people think that it's about what you do to get to God, but really it's about what God did to get to us. But the thing about it is that, yeah, you're not saved by your works. But if you're living your life and God is kind of in you and coming out of you, then you are going to do good works that benefit other people because it's an extension of the grace and forgiveness and salvation that you have. That's a great lesson for anyone, for kids or adults. I appreciate you being on with us today, Sheila. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate y'all.
All right, Tracy, you're up. What is that youth group lesson that didn't leave you?
Well, my youth group pastor always said, he said, a stronghold starts with a toehold. So if you think it's just like a little sin, it's kind of like inviting the enemy in to invade your home. And it starts with a toehold. So it always stayed with me. Like it starts with something small. And if you allow it, it becomes a stronghold.
Yeah, because the temptation is not the sin. Everybody's tempted. Christ was tempted. But what you do with it, if you let it fester, you give it that space in your mind and you focus on it, that's when a lot of times it will end up manifesting itself as an actual sin in your life.
Yes, absolutely. And he was saying, like, you know, when you answer the door, if somebody comes over and they ring the doorbell or whatever, and you open the door enough to let them just get a little foot in, then that's inviting them in.
I saw Betty, as you were talking, like nodding in agreement. So what is the biggest sin that manifested itself in your life, Rock, that started with something small?
It's interesting that you asked that question because I was going to ask you the same thing. Or if you're reminded of this lesson when you're in the McDonald's drive-thru, when you're claiming you're on a diet.
That got personal, like, and oddly specific. It's not a sin to have a McGriddle. It's a sin to have two.
But it starts with the toehold, Wally.
That's right. That first McGriddle is the toehold, and the second is the stronghold. Well, Tracy, thanks for being on the show with us. We appreciate you.
Thank you for having me.
Uplifting Way FM, this is The Wally Show. And that's a great song by We The Kingdom, but feels like it's missing a little something, you know, to me. But I could be wrong. We had the guys from the band We The Kingdom in to do a teachable moment. And this is where Betty Rock asked artists to teach us something that we do not know how to do. And We The Kingdom decided to teach us how to beatbox. That song could have benefited from beatboxing.
Oh, well, they're definitely a band that I wouldn't think would know how to beatbox.
I thought the same thing.
But boy, was I wrong.
Yeah, because they're like blue-eyed soul and kind of down-home little like southern rock to them. And even though they're not known for it, it didn't stop them from trying to teach us how to beatbox.
My only way to know how to beatbox is I just say, boots and cats and boots
That's a version.
So you started off, teach us how to beatbox.
All right, a kick sound might sound something like this, all right? Okay, so that's the deep sound.
Put your hands around the mic, both hands. Yep.
Spaghetti.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
You better lose yourself right now. No.
So don't.
It sounds like she just broke wind, honestly.
Better.
Okay.
Step forward.
I wouldn't suggest using this.
We're gonna have a little audition to see who does the better kick and snare sound. Oh, okay.
Stop.
Oh, this is my moment.
Do we want to teach?
You really want to be in this band?
I do so badly.
Yeah. So I'm just curious, what would happen if you go, and then you? Yeah. So check this out. I'm gonna start a time, and I just want to hear y'all go. Boop. Click.
He has no rhythm.
Boop. Click. Click. Okay.
It took us a hot second, but we did end up getting there. And now it was my turn to shine, and I could see We The Kingdom asking me to join their band if all went well. Mm. So it was my moment that kind of got stolen.
Okay, all right, y'all ready?
Now, this is the story all about how my life got flipped and turned upside down. I'd like to take a minute, just sit right there. I'll tell you how I became the town of a prince called Bel-Air. I'm dyslexic, don't make fun of me. I say backwards things, okay? That's not kind. Look at that! Okay. Oh, that was all right.
Okay, let me have a turn. I want to do. Do y'all know Coolio's "Gangster's Paradise"?
Yeah,
break it down.
Hit it,
for
hit
me?
It, hit it. Just give us a little piece for tempo.
As I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I think I look at my life and realize there's nothing left. Cause I've been messing in my head so long that even my mama thinks that my mind is gone. But I never crossed a man that didn't deserve it. Being treated like a punk, you know that's unheard of. You better watch how you're walking and how you're talking. Oh, you and your homies come might on. Be lying and chalk.
Oh. Yo. Darn it, I think she just got in the band and kicked me out. All right, teachable moment.
So gangster, that Betty Lou.
I know. I didn't choose the thug life. The thug life chose me. Yeah. Okay?
And if you see her perform this, it's a transformation that she has in her face, in her body language.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's
Thank
amazing.
You. Yeah, I'm very gangster, as the kids say. And you can actually see the whole video when you text the word BEAT, B-E-A-T, BEAT, to 91979. We'll send you a link. That's BEAT to 91979.
So we got our friend Andy Irwin on the show with us, and he's the guy behind the movie I Can Only Imagine, and now he has a new movie out called Ordinary Angels starring Hilary Swank, and she is great, by the way. And her passion for this film really comes through in her character, who's like this broken mess, but God still uses her to accomplish a miracle in the life of a desperate single father whose daughter is in need of a liver transplant. True story, by the way. Now, the one thing I love about you, Andy, is that your movies are not preachy. I would put this somewhere like... you got Blindside at one end, and you've got War Room at the other. You guys are ahead of Blindside on the faith, but way under War Room, you know? But it's done in a way that's like accessible and not off-putting, and it's not heavy-handed.
I think it preaches as good as any of the films that we've done.
Because I know your heart is not to water down the gospel.
No. Our heart is to be strategic. This one was really about trying to understand this everyman kind of blue-collar guy that had a relationship with God but was just burnt out.
Yep.
And he felt like he had lost faith in the church and lost faith in God really seeing him and being there for him. So it's kind of that skeptic that's outside the church walls that we want to reach.
Well, you do a great job of that, and it reached into my chest and punched me in the heart in the first 3 minutes. It's a great movie, and it will be in theaters February 23rd, and you can actually get tickets now at ordinaryangels.movie.
It's today's Music Insider, or TMI, with Gavin.
When you think of Zach Williams, what's the first thing that you think of?
Steaks. He likes to cook and grill out. And I also think of being able to reach the top cabinet without standing on anything. He's a ginormous man. And I also think
tall.
Of chest hair. He has a lot of chest hair.
I was going to say the same thing.
Yeah, and he's not afraid to go two buttons down. So there's a lot of things we think of when it comes to Zach Williams.
But I'm guessing that not many people's first response to that question would be book writer. But,
or book reader.
Oh, come on. But he is, in fact, writing a book called Rescue Story, named after his big song, Rescue Story. And I'll kind of like read a quick synopsis of what it's about. It's from a hard rocking life fueled by substance abuse to a hope filled life of freedom and joy. This is the music star Zach Williams' bold and vulnerable story of faith and redemption. And I thought it was really cool because he kind of posted this video on his Instagram talking about the book. And I actually thought he had a cool point of view on why it can feel like our own stories aren't always worth sharing.
I didn't know about writing this book to begin with because, you know, obviously when you think about, you know, your story, I think any one of us would probably think, oh, it's not that big of a deal or it's not that important because you've lived it, you know. But for me, when I sat down and started digging in and started seeing the things that God has done in my life over the past, you know, 45 years, it felt worthy of me sharing this story.
Yeah, I remember, like, thinking I had, kind of a decent story to share about, you know, how I came to Christ. And then I went and did pottery with Brian Head Welch from the metal band Korn.
Yeah.
And I went, that guy's got a story. You know,
that's
like,
a different,
wow.
It's a different kind of testimony. Yeah. But I kind of understand where he's coming from in that regard, where in my head, like, I haven't gone through a lot of struggle in my life. So in my head, sometimes I think, oh, my testimony probably isn't as powerful, but it might be something that identifies with other people, whereas
Absolutely.
Some people might really identify with the story of Zach Williams.
Yeah, some people that have gone through substance abuse go, man, I get it. That's where I was. But if you haven't lived through that, you go, okay, that's impressive, but it doesn't connect with you versus the struggles that you have you know, growing up differently or moving around from place to place because you were in the military, your dad was in the military, you know, like that might be the thing that lands with somebody. And that's why the Bible talks about us sharing our story, you know, and that's the way that we really do, you know, help people find faith is by simply just sharing, you know, who you were, you met Christ, and who you are now. Like, that's it. You know, we make it harder than it needs to be a lot of times.
For sure. And again, if you're interested in Zach Williams' rescue story book, it is available now. So if you just Google, it's on Amazon and other book or other places you might find books.
Uplifting Away FM. This is The Wally Show. And everybody probably has that one person in their life that is glued to their phone. And for everyone in my life, that's me. my phone is constantly with me. And I want to know where it is, and it's just, it has to be with me. I have a problem. I just love to see like texts come in and think, what's the possibility? What could happen? What fun could be going on today that I could be missing?
I think the complete opposite.
Yeah.
When I see that happening, that's mainly because I feel that way, I will put my phone on Do Not Disturb, and I'll keep it on Do Not Disturb for all day.
Yeah, I don't get that.
I don't remember the last time I heard my phone ring. Like, I don't know what the ringtone sounds like. I don't know what the text tone sounds like. Everything is on silent. And I do this mainly just because with Do Not Disturb, I don't have to be glued to my phone. So, you know, you can be in the middle of something, all of a sudden your phone goes off, and I've been with Wally when this has happened, and he stops everything that he's doing.
Right.
Stops the conversation he's in the middle of, pulls out his phone to look and see what's going on. To me, it can come across as rude.
Sure.
And so I just don't like to be pulled towards my phone if my attention isn't.
That's why you always go, I'm so sorry, I don't mean to do this, my mom's in the hospital. And then, you know, you look at your phone.
You can only use that excuse so many times.
She's in the hospital a lot.
Wow. Yeah, so I mean, I like the Do Not Disturb feature.
Okay, so that's your rule, is that you use Do Not Disturb.
Yeah.
Okay. My rule is that it just has to be within arm's length of me at any given time.
Do you see that as a problem?
I don't. No, like yesterday, okay. I was getting ready to get a shower, and I realized my phone was out in the other room. And I realized as I walked there to get my phone to bring it into the bathroom that it makes zero sense because I'm not going to be able to check it while I'm in the shower.
Right.
But I would hear it if it went off, and I would know, okay, I'm going to need to check that as soon as I get out of the shower. Or I might even get out early.
That's a problem.
I have paused a shower to get out and see what the text was, to see if it needed to be answered, and then gotten back in.
I don't know what to say about that.
Different set of rules. All right, so what is your rule? Betty Rock is a Do Not Disturber. You know, maybe you have that rule about no phones at the table or whatever, but what are your phone rules that you live by? 855-33-WAY-FM. That's 855-33-WAY-FM. What are your phone rules, Jennifer?
Most of the time I have it on silent, but sometimes if I'm waiting for a call or a text, I actually turn the ringer on.
And I'm not a ringer on person. I always have mine on vibrate, but that's because like I'm used to having a phone in the studio and you can't have your phones going off, so I always have it on vibrate. But I had to set my phone to go beep, beep.
Not just the ringtone, but even when it's on silent, it's still annoying.
Yeah, because I couldn't feel it just go buzz buzz in my pocket. You can create a custom vibrate pattern, and that's what I did so that I would feel it go off. And so I highly recommend if you're missing calls because you don't feel your phone go off, do that.
Oh, that's a good idea. I don't want to be so tied to the phone. Like, I have phone anxiety when I don't know where it is.
Right.
But I still do that.
I do, too.
That's what Wally has. He has phone anxiety.
100%. And so I feel you. We'll start a support group. But you know what? The good news is we can actually call each other and have a support group where we can't get a hold of Betty. So.
Debbie said that one of her phone rules is that she sets a timer, a limit on games and social media apps because 4 hours is more than enough time.
Mm.
So I thought, you know, wouldn't it be fun? Because I know Wally has an addiction to TikTok, and he was saying the other day that he actually didn't get enough sleep he's very exhausted because he has to end on a good TikTok video.
Yes, and so sometimes it takes a while.
Right, so he'll just keep scrolling.
And it's the worst when you think you've hit a good one, but you think there might be one funnier beyond that, and then you go for another 20 minutes.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So on your phone, it can tell you how much time you've spent on social media platforms.
Okay.
TikTok, to be specific.
So this is just this week through today, which has not been a full week.
Hasn't been a full week.
I'm clocking in at 5 hours and 40 minutes on TikTok.
Oh.
Okay.
Spread out over, what is that, Sunday, Monday?
Yeah, a few days.
Okay. No, just because I'm curious, what about last week?
Last week was actually less, 5 hours and 29 minutes for the entire week.
Oh. No, it was
yeah, it
not.
Was. I swear to you. Wow. I swear to you. I did better last week than I'm doing right now. So
I'm disappointed.
Yeah. But then I also, I've gotten, my problem is Facebook Marketplace has now gotten a hold of me.
Uh-oh.
And I'm just browsing for things I don't need and thinking, oh, that'd be fun to have a pony, you know, and a horse. Then I need a pony trailer and like, yeah, all these things. So my Facebook is like already like in an hour.
So we're up to six.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I get it.
I mean, you could set a timer. You know, you can do that on your phone. You can say, I only want to spend this amount of time on this app.
Yeah, but I'm going to set that to like 8 hours. So it's not going to matter, you know.
That's not the point.
I know. See, I can't limit myself. I have no self-control. That's why diets are difficult. And so I'm just, you know what? I'm just the way the Lord made me.
No. No.
I love that excuse. That's no. Just the way God made me. So I'm just living out my truth in Him.
I saw that going differently in my mind.
Uplifting Way of M. This is The Wallace Show with Mind Blown.
Mind Blown.
Whoa.
Nice. That scared Gavin.
Mind blown.
There you go. Okay. So the way this works is if you've ever felt like, man, I don't have anything to offer in this conversation. Like, say you're at work or you're at a wedding or wherever and people are talking and you just want to slink out of the background. This is where I try to help you out with a bunch of random nuggets of information that when somebody's talking, all of a sudden, you can chime in with something interesting. You know, and we'll kind of show you how this works. Like, Betty Rock, give me a category if we were just kind of hanging out at work or some event, and I'll show you how you can be in the conversation.
Yeah, this conversation is distracting me from the conversation I want to have on my phone through text.
Oh, yeah.
So tell me something about texting.
Texting is one of those things, like communicating in the written word, I think is challenging because you never know if somebody is being sarcastic or whatever. I have a hard time with that. I'm glad you brought that up. And here's what you might not know is that this is not a new problem. Back in the, boy, it was, I believe, the 1600s. Sometimes you have to pretend like you don't know.
That's
a strategy. Yeah. Like, I think it was like the 1600s. I don't know. But they had proposed that an upside down or a crooked exclamation point be used as a way to show that the sentence was ironic or sarcastic. Like, we could totally use that today, right?
Yeah, we
could. Texting,
And I think that is still an option. Like, I think you can actually choose an upside down exclamation mark.
You can? See, now what's happened is I've taken the good looking girl and I've pulled her into a conversation because A, it was about something she cared about, texting, and B, I offered something interesting. Now we're talking, you know? And if I'm single, we could be getting engaged at this wedding, okay?
I don't know about that.
You know what? Put a pin in that. But that's how it works. So then Gavin walks up and then totally ruins my swag.
I'm not the good looking guy.
No, come on.
Oh. I come in all, you know,
Gavin. Hey, Gavin.
I'm like, hey guys, talking about my wife and I, we'd love to buy a house these days, but oh my goodness, is inflation just making that impossible?
I feel
you. Can you give me any hope or take
not
hope
really?
Away? Okay,
no, it's all bad. It's all bad news, and I get it. Like I looked at buying a house. It was so expensive. The price of money has gotten crazy. This lady here that I just met at the wedding, she's looking for a house, you know, herself. And
I want to get myself out of this conversation.
No, you're still.
No, I left a long time ago.
No,
okay?
you're still in. Okay. Well, hey, call me. This is crazy. If you made $5,000 a day. This is just to give you the impact of how big some of these numbers are. Because we talk about sending billions of dollars to this and billions of dollars on that, everything like that. If you made $5,000 a day since Christopher Columbus first arrived in America.
Which was when?
1492, I'm guessing we're going with that. you would still not have $1 billion.
Oh my goodness.
Is
really?
That not crazy?
What?
To think? Like, that's how much $1 billion is. And then you have single people that own, you know, have more than $1 billion net worth. And then we just randomly send billions of dollars to something.
Well, and I think the Kardashian family, aren't they worth like $3 billion?
Yeah, I mean, well, more than that, probably.
Musk is worth $200 billion.
Right.
And 200. If I, over 500 years, trying to make $5,000 a day. Like that puts it
isn't that
into
crazy?
A massive perspective.
Now, if you're a math nerd, you're like, what about compound interest? This isn't compound interest. It's just literally $5,000 a day since Columbus got here that you would still not have $1 billion. So there you go. Betty Rock came back, which is kind of nice.
Oh, hey,
see,
there.
That's how this works. Like, if you can have these little nuggets at your disposal, you can be the most interesting person in any conversation. You're welcome.
Growing up in poverty has never been easy for children, but with the added challenges of the pandemic, conflict, and natural disasters, families around the world are facing an unprecedented food crisis. Unfortunately, those who are already hungry are now even more desperate. But by sponsoring a child through Compassion, you can help provide life-sustaining essentials such as food and clean water. And with your compassionate support, that child can not only survive, but also flourish. You can find out how and choose a child to sponsor when you click on the Compassion banner at wayfm.com.
Uplifting Way FM. It's what your People magazine would sound like with a Southern accent. It's The Rock Report with Betty Rock.
TV shows aimed at kid audience they can be a godsend for parents who are just at their wits' end and they just want a break from the chaos. You can sit your kids in front of the TV and just let them have it.
We had these VCR tapes because I'm a little older, and they were like Disney sing-along tapes. And I'm walking right down the middle of Main Street, USA. Like, I still remember that because my kid would park herself in front of that TV and just love it and sing, and I would get 10 minutes to 30 minutes apiece.
Well, one popular kids show seems to be causing more chaos than it's all thanks to the main character's attitude,
what?
Not setting a good example to its viewers. And it's actually Peppa Pig.
I'm Peppa Pig. This is my little brother George.
Kevin and I both laughed at the snort. That shows our level of of comedic intelligence. How is Peppa Pig back? Like, I think Peppa Pig is very cute.
Well, parents are starting to notice their kids showing some bad behavior after watching the show because Peppa's attitude is questionable. So let me give you a few examples of when Peppa was savage.
Okay.
Like the time she called her friend Susie. Peppa was sad that she didn't know how to whistle, so she called up Susie to see if she could whistle. And then Peppa was highly annoyed when Susie could.
Can you whistle, Susie? Like this?
She just hung up on her.
Peppa.
Oh my gosh, as an adult, I'm laughing.
And she doesn't save her wrath for just her friends. It's also towards her family members. Like the time she went to visit her grandparents and wanted to remind her grandpa he's on death's door.
Oh. We're tidying the attic.
What's the attic?
It's where we keep all our old things.
Like you, Grandpa Pig.
Oh.
It's not horrible. It's good natured.
This might hurt a little bit. Or the time Peppa not so casually dropped a hint to her dad she thought he needed to lose weight.
You've got a big tummy, Daddy. Is there a baby in there?
Oh,
okay, really? Guess what, Peppa? I'm having bacon for breakfast.
Oh, man.
Oh, that's
so
funny. So people
are
upset about that?
Yeah, parents are like, I'm seeing some really bad behavior in my kids after watching Peppa Pig, and I'm not for it anymore.
Zach, who used to work on the show, was not allowed to watch the Smurfs, and not because of Gargamel and the magic stuff, but because the Smurfs didn't treat each other always well, and that was why why his parents didn't want him watching it. And then Gavin watches Bluey, and I love Bluey.
As an adult, he watches
Bluey. Yeah. I know. I'm doing some prep and some homework because I'm having a kid later this year. And I think that
you were doing this before you even knew you were having a kid. Let's be honest.
That's true.
It's good, but it's good. Like, it's funny for adults. Like, all that Peppa Pig stuff as an adult made me laugh. Yeah. And I think the best cartoons work on both levels. As an adult, nothing is perfect for your kids because everybody has different tolerances. So if there's something in that that doesn't land with you, you use it as a teachable moment. You're like, hey, this isn't how we would treat our friends, is it? You know, and like, no, I would never hang up on my friend. Good. You know, like that's all you have to do, you know, and it's okay. It's not the end of the world.
I'm Peppa Pig, and you have a big tummy.
Yeah, well, I'd ground her for that one, honestly. Uplifting Way FM. This here is The Wally Show. And from time to time, we like to do a little thing called Am I Weird Because? This is where you find out if the things that you do make you weird or not. And sometimes you find out, oh, wow, other people do the same thing. But Gavin came to me with a thought on this, and he said, I want to do Are We Weird Because? Of something with him and his wife. I thought, oh, that's a great spin on this. We've never done that. So, yeah, go ahead.
So, my wife and I, we were at a Nike store a little while ago, and she was looking at shoes. And she's got a longer foot than I do.
Okay.
I've got a wider foot than she does.
Okay.
And so she bought a pair of shoes, and she's like, oh, these look cool. And I was like, oh, those do look cool. Like, legitimately, I thought they look cool.
Did she buy them in the men's section?
No. They were in the...
The story just got better, right, Rock?
I didn't say this part. It was in the women's section, but it's the bigger shoe in the women's section.
Sure, okay, yeah.
And right now, she's pregnant.
Yeah.
And her feet are kind of like, you know, like... more expanded.
It's interesting how that happens. Yes. My wife's feet grew after she had the baby, or like during and after, and they didn't shrink. Like, it's really strange. I don't know how that happens.
But she, you know, tried them on. She's like, I think you would fit in these. And so I put them on. I'm like, I do. These are comfortable. All right. So
I love the floral print on the Nike swoosh.
No,
it's great.
No. They're just classic.
I like how they light up. Sparkle. Brings up my eye color.
I wish I'd worn them today.
I do wish you had worn them. I want to see these.
We bought them, and they are a co-owned shoe for us. And now, is that weird?
Is that weird? Yes, absolutely.
Are we weird?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. I have to backtrack this.
You and your wife share a pair of shoes?
No, not a pair of shoes. We went to Target, and our favorite number in our family is 3.
Sure.
You guys know
that. Oh, yeah.
Have a whole wall of 3s. For whatever reason, Target had a sweatshirt that had a 3 on it.
I remember that.
And I'm like, oh, this is great. But I'm like, we're not going to ever wear it at the same time. Why do we need to buy 2 of these? We'll just get a medium, and that'll fit us both. Mm. And so we have a joint sweatshirt. So, Gavin, no, you're not weird at all.
Oh, yeah. And we do that, too. We've got a lot of joint sweatshirts because she likes really big stuff.
Okay.
I think it's weird. Okay. And I'll tell you why. I've heard of a lot of couples that they're like, the woman will be like, oh, I wear my boyfriend's t-shirts to bed. and that's not weird. I get that. But I think it gets weird when there are things that both him and you will wear in public.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay, that's where it gets really weird.
Yeah.
Because now it sounds like you and Gavin both shop in the women's department.
Well, no, mine was in the men's department, full disclosure. Gavin's totally out of bounds.
Yeah. I'm not going to tell most people that part of that story.
I would never. You probably shouldn't have brought it up here.
Except when he runs into another woman that's wearing the same shoes.
Oh my gosh, where'd you get those? So I love them. Did you get them 20% off at Kohl's too? Oh, so good. All right, so Betty Rock, like, I have to recuse myself from that. So Betty Rock has made the call. Gavin, that is weird. 855-33-WAY-FM. Now, you don't have to weigh in on that. We just want your story of that thing that you do that might think makes you weird as a couple, all right? Do you cut each other's food? I don't know what it is, but just what makes you possibly weird as a couple, and we will all sit in judgment of you, and who knows? You might find out you're not weird at all, that we do the same things. 855-33-WAY-FM is the number. That's 855-33-WAY-FM. What is that thing that you do, and we'll tell you if it's weird or not.
I have to cut my husband's toenails. It bugs me the way he does them, and I don't know. It just
It's always been a thing that I've done.
Wow. I don't understand this world because my wife is repulsed by feet of any kind, mine, anybody's. And so I could literally need her, like if I've severed a toe, I could need her to hold it in place for me so I could get to the hospital to avoid losing it. She would not do it. She would be like, you're on your own. You've got another toe. They could take your thumb and transplant it down there. You'll be fine.
I would help you.
But Olivia, what is it about his technique that you don't like? I mean, I think I could get over it. I wouldn't want to cut my own husband's feet.
I honestly don't even know how it started. I really don't. When I think back on it, I'm like, I guess I've been cutting your toenails this whole time.
Oh my goodness.
I don't know.
You should have been a podiatrist.
Okay, I don't know.
At least you get paid for it, you know? If you got to like touch crow's feet, at least make some money.
I'll keep that in mind.
So what do you got?
My parents have been married for almost 45 years, and they wear matching shirts and clothes everywhere. Most people think that's kind of weird, but it's just kind of how things have been for as long as I can remember.
Do you think it's cute? Like, you look at that and go, oh, I want to do that with my husband.
I think it's cute. No, I do not want to do that with my husband.
Okay. I think there's an age limit on it where it's cute. Like, if you're in your 40s doing this, probably not.
For me and my husband, For a while, we were dual military, and we wore the same size boots and uniform and all that stuff, so everything just kind of got thrown in together. There really wasn't a whole lot of thought to who had what.
Oh, really? So your uniforms were interchangeable?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, we were both Army. We were both Black Hawk crew chiefs and mechanics,
Ooh, so that's cool. We both
worked on aircraft.
Oh, that's fascinating. I thought that the women's uniforms were at least tailored a smidge differently than the guys.
So for the dress uniforms, they are.
What do you do now that you used to be a Black Hawk crew chief for, like, fixing helicopters? Because that's pretty dope.
So now I homeschool my kids, and I run a full-time embroidery business.
Oh, no way, really? That's two very different worlds. I'm sure all the discipline you learn translates into your homeschooling.
Pretty much.
And now for some good news.
Uplifting Way FM. This year is the Wally Show with a little bit of good news. Giddy up. It's a roundup of a few good news stories because the regular news is a bit heavy. So we're going to start with you, Betty Rock. Good news, giddy up, go.
There was a video making the rounds of this horse, and it was galloping down this huge main interstate in Philadelphia last week. And the good news is the horse is okay, and no one got hurt. Everyone is fine. But he did escape, earning a brand new name.
Okay.
Okay, so he belongs to a charity called the Fletcher Street Urban Riding Club, and they offer inner city kids a chance to go out and ride on
these
horses.
Oh, that's cool. I love that.
Well, so this horse that made his video made the rounds, the kids got to choose a new name for him, and they decided to go with the name Freeway.
Oh, okay. That's a good name. That's not bad at all. Gavin, good news, giddy up, go.
The Houston Zoo did something big for something very small. A Peruvian stick bug ended up with a floppy neck after she molted and shed her exoskeleton. So they used part of a Q-tip, and they engineered this tiny neck brace that apparently saved her life, and they took it off 2 days later, and she's all better.
How did you get that on her? Like, that's crazy to me.
I've also never heard of, you know, medical procedures for bugs before, so that's just super interesting.
Well, you know what? Is it they? I wonder if it's an expensive Peruvian stick bug or something, because, you'd be like, oh, stick bug's dead. Okay. But they care about even the littlest life. I love that. That's why that's in good news. Giddy up. All right. And finally, there is a new way to find your missing pet. I've never thought of this, but it makes so much sense. Hire a drone operator to go look for them.
There are tons
of guys with drones that just want to do something with them, you know? And so this could be something that you're doing that actually does some good. There was a guy who volunteers with a pet rescue group, and he has an $8,000 drone, but it has a thermal cam. His wife hates it too. But it has a thermal cam. It picks up body heat. He has found over 40 missing dogs in the past year.
That sounds like a good side business.
Yeah.
I'm sure he does it out of the kindness of his heart.
Well, it says that he volunteers with the rescue thing. I'm curious if there's a reward. Like, okay, I did find this. There was a reward.
Maybe.
Oh, that's what he's doing. He's going around the neighborhood and finding all the reward posters.
No, that's what he's doing. He's taking people's dogs, hiding them. in the woods.
And then find them with a drone.
Yeah.
That would be the regular news. That is not good news, giddy up.
Well, that's the end, but it doesn't have to be. Check out our Aftercast. It's new stuff you didn't hear in the podcast. Be sure to rate us on iTunes as well as connect with us on social media. Just search Wally Show. And if you'd like to join our Facebook group made exclusively for you potties, the link is in the description of this podcast. Thanks to Colorado Christian University Online for supporting what we do.